more time a cappella.
Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the Holy Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
And our final hymn is number 134. And Can It Be?
Thank you.
God's people said, amen. That is very encouraging to our hearts, and I tell you, that prepares my heart to preach God's word. I'll go ahead and turn these TVs on rather quickly here. Take our Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. It's been my joy to be able to bring God's word to you, especially upon such a precious and special book of the Bible as Peter. And I hope that we as a church are growing to love this book and all the glorious truth that God has for us. And as we come to one of the more familiar verses in 1 Peter, that God may take this and help us to see the true significance of these words. There's an aspect here we see in verse 2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. God takes for us a special illustration that every parent can understand. How many of you say, I'm a parent tonight? Say, all right, you say, I know exactly what this is talking about. A newborn babe, desiring milk. And we're going to look at this in regards to that. Before we jump into that verse of Scripture, let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we just ask that you would just illuminate our hearts. Take this precious eternal word, and would you accomplish your sustaining, empowering, convicting effect by your Spirit in our lives, so that we might grow into Christ-likeness and into the completion of the work that you are doing in our lives. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to break this down and to four phrases. We're going to look at as newborn babes. We're going to look at the sincere milk of the word. We're going to look at the command to desire. And then we're going to look at the result of that command that God wants us to grow thereby. So very simple. We're following through in terms of the words. And as we begin to examine, in some sense, what preaching really is just extended meditation. Now, there's some study involved into it. But in some sense, you could go home and meditate, do a little study on your own. But really, most of these things is not some special knowledge of the text. It really is just meditating, and I'm reaping the harvest of others' meditations as well, and trying to bring it together and to put this hodgepodge soup together of thoughts that we might meditate together upon this verse of Scripture. And so I think that's important for us as we go through this. So let's meditate a little bit on this phrase, as newborn babes. And so this is the idea of a baby who's just been born. And this connects us directly to the aspect of generation, meaning from one generation to the next. We call this regeneration, in which we are born again. But we are born into God's family, and God is our Father. And we have seen that this is one of the main emphases in the book of 1 Peter in regards to our salvation. We've seen from the very opening blessing that we bless the God and Father. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but according to His abundant mercy, He has begotten us again unto a lively hope. And so now the whole reality is that once you have trusted in Jesus Christ and you've entered into the new covenant, you are a part of the family of God, and God is your Father. You can go down to verse 14. He'll say, as obedient children. Now that you're a child of God, you need to obey Him. In the next verse, He says, as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Holiness is connected with sonship all the way through the Old Testament. So that the aspect of, if you want to be like your Father who is holy, you need to be holy in that special, close, personal relationship, walking with Him in His purity, His holiness, in all manner of life. Verse 17, He says, and if ye call on the Father. And we saw that that's not just simply prayer in general, but that is calling to God and owning Him as your Father. You have that close, personal relationship with Him. And there's a great contrast. In verse 18, we see that it says here, you are redeemed from certain things, from a vain and empty lifestyle, a vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. So there's a whole change in parentage. We go from a natural birth and a natural life to a supernatural birth, to being born again. And he says in chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So your life has begun because you have heard a word that is an eternal word in the gospel. And you in that moment received new life by the seed. The divine nature was imparted to you through the word of the gospel. In that moment that you believed it. And God doing a supernatural work in that moment regenerates our lives. And now we have a nature that matches the seed, which matches the parent. An eternal relationship with God based on an eternal word from Him. And so when we come to this, He is fleshing this out so that you and I might think of ourselves as babes in Christ. He's not talking just to the people who have gotten saved recently. Now, this is a good example. You may be in your mind be thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or maybe Hebrews chapter 5, that talks about the apostle there in Hebrews, and the apostle Paul is actually censoring, meaning he is warning, he's scolding the church because they need milk when they are not ready to go on to meat. They're not mature enough to receive that. And we have two illustrations that have very similar leanings. But I would say that as I read this passage, I find no censure in this passage. And what that helps us understand is, you know that the Bible can use an illustration and call people babes on one side and say, you ought not be babes. It's time for you to grow up. And on another side, he can say, you're all babes in Christ. See, that just because an illustration is used once in the Bible does not mean that it always is going to mean the same way. Now, it is helpful to compare Scripture with Scripture, but I think this is an example of that where every context defines an illustration. So what he's saying is every Christian here, I don't care if you've been 50 years in the faith or if you've been saved for 5 days, every single one of us should see ourselves in this metaphor as like a babe in Christ. And that ought to encourage us in a lot of ways because you think about the newborn Christian, maybe the thief on the cross. He might be a good example. He's saved in the last hour, in the last moment. Maybe someone calls upon the name of the Lord on their deathbed and they go into eternity. Do you know what? They have more knowledge of God than any of us here. We're babes. Doesn't matter how much we accrue and how much we study and how much we have in terms of our attainment of knowledge or the furthest stretch of our vision. The reality is all of us are little babbling babes when it comes to the knowledge of God. And someday we're going to come to that place of maturity in Christ, ultimately when we see Him face to face. Now, in some sense, yes, God wants us to grow up into maturity. You can use the metaphor, we're going to switch the metaphor. But in some sense, we are always supposed to have this kind of desire, this kind of longing for God's words we're going to see. And this comes from the reality that we're all babes. And if we begin to think of ourselves as a little babe, you know, it's very easy to be understood. A parent whose sleep has been interrupted because a baby cries. I see some mothers out there, even today, who are tired. I'll tell you this. Was it this morning? It was this morning. 4 o'clock in the morning. Babe, our little daughter, still waking up and crying. Now, we weren't sure if she was cold, so she checked on her and said, nah, she wasn't cold. She just wanted to be fed. But she cried, and she cried, and she cried. And it was disturbing my sleep. That's when we put our foot down, when the daddy can't get his sleep. No. But the reality is, she wanted her milk. And she wasn't going to stop until she got it. You know what? Does a helpless babe become the object of scorn from her mother? No, it does not. In fact, the more helpless and the more weak, you could have a premature baby. And you know what? The mother and the father are going to hover over that baby. There's a reality that you may have a child who is well, but when they are sick, do you get away from them? Or do you draw near to them? You would say, yes, you know what an earthly mother and father would do. You know what? A parent is not angry because a child is weak and sickly or ignorant. In fact, it is said, mothers love most the children who have cost them most. And this aspect of love that causes you to pour out your heart into them. And so you may say, you know what? I'm just a babe in the things of Christ, and I don't know very much, and I haven't really learned as much as I ought to, and I should, in terms of growth and spiritual. You say, God must want to forsake me. You think a heavenly father is going to forget his suckling child? his newborn babe? Or is he going to draw near and draw close? You may think that your the taint of evil habits, or the fear, or the ailments, or besetting sins, or lack of faith is going to drive God from you. And the reality, God comes near to meet your need because you are a babe and you need help. Just as a parent would not leave the side of a child that's in need. And actually, not only does God give the grace to give parents, but did you know that it takes a long time? You know, think of some animals that are, they give birth to their young and then, choo, they're off and they're running. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Give birth and boom, all right, 3 days later, off you go. Time for you to fend for yourself. No, actually, God gives grace to parents to have patience and love for the duration of their maturing process. And God has a similar love for you and for me. He that hath begun a good work, what will he do? He's going to bring it to completion. He's going to fulfill it. And he's going to do it until the day of Jesus Christ, till we come into the fullness of our Savior. And so we ought to think of God's love towards us as his children. That God sees you as we would see a helpless little baby. I've learned a lot from looking at my children and examining and experiencing the heart of love that I have for them. I remember looking over it wasn't necessarily a NICU unit, but there was an aspect of our son was in the hospital 5 days after birth, and they got all these tubes attached to him in his face, and had to end up putting the IV in his head and his scalp and things like that. And it's no fun to watch that. And they'd have to come in every 2 hours, and I don't know, it wasn't probably 2 hours, it felt like 2 hours, maybe it was every 4 hours, 6 hours, but they had to check his blood. And they check his blood, stick it in there, and well, this is, he's so new, and they'd have a hard time finding those veins. They'd stick it in over here, and the baby cry, oh, I'm sorry, we need to come over here. Let's try the other arm. I'm like, I'd want to reach over and tell my son, I'm sorry that this is happening to you. I don't want you to go through pain, but it's necessary. But you know what? My son couldn't understand. He began to realize, God, why am I going through this pain? Why is his arm getting stuck while my heart's getting stuck? God could explain it to me, but I wouldn't understand. But I got to trust his heart and trust his love. God loves us more than any of us have ever loved our earthly children. He is the ultimate good father. He looks at us as newborn babes. So when he says in this relationship, God wants to give us what is vital to a new life with God as your father. And there's an aspect which, because of the fact that we are now have new life, we've been born again. God is our Father. We have a new spiritual desires. He's saying, you need to get away from all these spiritual wicked sins. Lay them aside. Put them off. He's talking about specifically relational sins that hurt us, malice towards other, guile, the deception that hides it, and all of the manifestations of that. He says, that is not in keeping with a new life that you have, because a new life in Christ puts you in a plane of love towards one another. But it's interesting, on one side, we find over and over in Scripture, put off, and then he says on the other side, put on. But what we find here is not an example of a list of virtues that we're supposed to put on. It's not the fruit that he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about the engine of the new life that's going to cause all of these lists of virtues to be produced in our life. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to tell us by ways that you and I can grow, that our new life can be sustained. And that's where we need to look at this expression, the sincere milk of the Word. Now, I have to be quite honest with you. When I get into it in terms of language, I want to communicate to you God's Word. And so I'm going to give it to you as it can be. Sometimes you can do that and say, you know what? I like the clarity that we have here, but sometimes in the Greek it's not always as clear. And I hate to take a step back and say, but I want you to understand God's Word as it was given to us. And so this is literally how it works here. The wordy, sincere milk. All right, so we need, there are two adjectives and there are one noun in this expression. And the one noun is the milk. So he's basically saying, you must crave the milk. And then he describes the milk with two different adjectives. And so the milk is what is going to sustain your life. Just like a newborn babe loves and drinks milk and day by day grows by that milk, this is what's going to sustain your life. So we need to see, what does God mean by this? And let's go ahead and examine this expression, wordy. It is the adjective that is connected to the word logos, which means the word. But it is an adjective, and the only other place in which it occurs is in Romans 12:1. I've bolded it for you on the screen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So there's no aspect of why was it translated reasonable over here and word, because it's the word, but it's the adjective of describing something that's a word. So they would say, you know what? The words that are out there actually connect with the reason. That's how you and me think, is through words. And so that's why it is translated reasonable here in this passage. So you could look at this and say, it is the reasonable milk. And I think that has some merit to it to some degree, especially looking at this passage. But I don't think it actually flushes out the full meaning of what's going on in this passage. Now, some would take this word and say it means spiritual. Okay, it is the spiritual milk, meaning we're not talking about literal milk. But the reality is, he just said, as newborn babes. And I don't think there's an aspect that the Bible has to tell us something that's already been made clear. We would not have assumed that he was telling us to drink milk, whole milk, or 2%. We understood that he was talking on a spiritual plane already. And so when you come to what this, probably one of the best explanation of this word means, is the idea of something that is true to its real nature. So the service, in light of now that you are in Jesus Christ, you are to give a service to God that is according to the new nature that you've received. And that makes a lot of sense within this context here. The aspect here is, you have a new nature because you have new life in Jesus Christ. You are born again. You need the milk that corresponds to your new nature. Why go through all that work? You say, well, what I have done is I have muddied the waters a little bit. But I'm going to help you try to make the clarity here. The word here is logikos. Sounds like logos. And the word logos was actually translated back in chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the logos of God. So what they've done is recognized in terms of the connection between this adjective and the word that was used and the new babes and the aspect of the being born by the word. And so they've translated it here and said, the sincere milk of the word. Identifying and saying, what is the food that corresponds to your new nature?
Well, what is it that gave you your new nature? It is the seed, the Word of God. And you know what? Did you know that there is no way that you and I can relate to God apart from His Word? How can you have any life from God? You say, I want God to communicate Himself to me. And I want to challenge you, there is no way to have any fellowship with God outside of this Word. I think of it in this regard like an hourglass. Here's God, and here's us, and it all comes to a point, and there is only one way by which God, just, and I've used that illustration for you to think of Jesus Christ, but the same thing is true of His Word. Try to have a relationship apart from the Word. What do? You go outside in the trees, but even your interpretation of nature and everything that you see around you is you have to interpret that according to the words of God. So that when you look at nature and you say God is the creator, it is the Word of God ultimately that is informing you and directing your thoughts along those ways. And so the reality is, the Word of God is absolutely essential. The milk of the Word. If you lose that, you are like a baby who does not have milk, and it will begin to starve and begin to cry out, and to the place where all of a sudden it begins to lose its appetite and go into the cycle of starvation and ultimately death. What you need is absolutely essential to your new nature is the Word of God. Let me tell you about it. The Word of God tells us back in chapter 1, verse 23, by the Word of God which liveth. It's a living Word. It's a Word that will give life. If you will believe it, you will come to a place where God will work by faith, by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All of a sudden, you have new life through this Word as He brings faith into your life. It is not only the Word that begins life for the Christian, but it is the Word that sustains life. It is the milk. So that Deuteronomy can tell us that God led the children of Israel into the wilderness so that they would learn this, not just a lesson, this essential lesson, that man does not live by bread alone. You cannot live just by eating food day by day and keeping a physical existence. You live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Job would say, I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. And certainly Jesus demonstrated that because He would not turn stones into bread. He would not even create something to satisfy His necessary food after 40 days of fasting because He did not have a word from His Father. It's interesting. Acts 20:32 says, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. He commends them to God. He commends them to the Word. And what I want us to see, not ultimately tonight, but when we look at the connection between this command to desire the Word and the connection in verse 3 and in verse 4, we're going to find that it is the Lord Himself that satisfies. The Scripture does not put a dichotomy between, oh, you better know the Lord, oh, and you better know the Word, because when you know the Word, you get to know the Lord. And there's no way you can get to know the Lord except you can get to know the Lord of the Word. These two things must go hand in hand. And we seek God through the sacred page. And so not only do we have the Word, that is the milk of the Word, but here we want to look at this aspect of the sincere milk. This word sincere is simply the word guile found in verse 1. So you can make a connection here. You could draw a circle from guile to sincere. And what they do in that language is they put the word guile and they put the word not in front of it. Not guile. Meaning this word can absolutely be trusted because everything that is said in it is inherently true and honest and straightforward and right and straight shooting. God's word is honest with you. It's not something that says, oh, you better find the sincere milk because there is some milk of the word out there that is mixed up, but you better go around and find the stuff that's unmixed. He's not trying to differentiate between the word. He's saying the very nature of the word of God is this. It's always sincere. It's always true. It's always without any guile. And it really is the foundation. So if you're drinking in this unmixed, pure word of God, you know what? That is the foundation for a guileless life. When you've got the word of God that has no guile in it, and you're consuming and growing on that, you will not be fulfilling the sins that is talked about in verse 1 of chapter 2. And so we see that the everlasting word of the Lord is the seed of the new life, and the word is the means by which you grow in that new life. It is this word that brings you into an experiential relationship with Jesus Christ. So, on the basis of this, he gives a command. He says, desire. Now, honestly, as I heard this book, a verse going up, I memorized as a young kid, I always thought that there was no comma. As newborn babes desire. As they do that, but I never heard the, I don't know how I understood the verse because there's no main verb. And it just kind of run on and that's how I memorized it. But he's saying, as newborn babes, desire. You do this. You're in a very, very bad place when you have no appetite. If you've lost appetite, all of a sudden you recognize, you know what? Something's wrong. I'm sick. I've been at the deathbed of others. This aspect of where someone loses their appetite and you know that the end is going to draw near. And sometimes it's amazing how someone can last with so little food for a long period of time, but you know there's no going back from this element of a loss of appetite. But what God wants is, what is absolutely essential for you and me is a strong desire. This is a word with a compound on it, so it's hard to even find English words to earnestly long for, strongly desire, crave. This is not a passive reception. This is not coming along and say, okay, you know, I guess I'll just show up at church and I'll just listen to someone talk about the Bible and I'll just be kind of, it's not exposure to the Word that makes you grow. It's exposure to the Word that is coupled with a strong, intense desire that causes you to grow. God demands something of you. It is an active seeking. It's an active pursuing. It's calling upon God, asking for Him to show you something. When you come to hear the Word of God, you know, we've talked about this before, but you and I will be judged how we respond to God's holy Word. I encourage you, I believe, honestly, for your safety as a believer, that you ought to come with a pencil in hand. You don't have a pencil tonight? That's okay. I'm not downing on that. I'm saying you ought to come saying, I want to learn. Because I'm serious. I can show you, it's not in this Bible, it's in my other Bible, where this is 20 years ago. I sat underneath a pastor and I was in church on Sunday mornings. I'd come on Sunday night and we were going through the book of Acts. I can show you. You'll look at it and say, yeah, I missed a day right here. There's four verses. I've got no notes on them. And everything else, I'm writing, I'm putting stuff in, a desire, a passion. I'm not trying to hold myself up here as an example. I'm just saying, That's what I want from you. Doesn't mean that everything I'm going to say is worth writing down, but you can learn a lot from the connections of God's Word, and it can build you and meditate and pull things together. Maybe you don't learn the best that way. That's fine. But I'm saying you have to come with whatever way you learn the best. You hear God's Word. If you come to it, you get an appetite and a craving for God's Word. You know what, who I preach to? I do not preach, in my heart, I do not preach for the person who doesn't care. I don't preach for the person who's on the average, is on the fence. I preach to the one or two or three people or the 50 people or however it will be that says, I want to grow and I want to learn and I want to know this book. I want to know this verse like I've never known it before. And I want to know the next verse and I want to know the whole book and I want to know the whole thing. You've got to have that kind of desire, that kind of craving. You think about what a baby is like. Are they apathetic to milk? I'm telling you, a baby, you say, how do they desire? They desire it passionately. They must have it regularly. They must have it without distraction. You know what I like to do? Come in there and baby's eating and I start tickling their foot. Start to play with them. Oh, daddy's here to play with you. Uh-oh. Ain't daddy time. It's eating time. No distractions. There's an aspect to which you have a hunger and thirst for God's Word. You say, I don't want anything to distract me from what God is trying to teach me. You know what? Babies must have it before they sleep. There's an aspect of they're willing to give up sleep. They're willing to lose things. They may be tired as all, but they are not too tired not to eat. Because they want the desire, sincere desire of the Word. And so there's an aspect of this is what God wants from us. Now, a newborn babe has a longing that is natural and inevitable. And one of the signs of a newborn Christian is that they have a desire for God's Word. You say, I've never had a desire for God's Word. I come to preaching, and unless there's a bunch of stories that really cause me to laugh and make me excited, I really don't care what's going on up there. An aspect, something's, you're sick, or you've never been born. It's not for me to make that determination. I'm not here to scare someone, but I'm saying this is a natural aspect. And yet God calls upon us not to just say it's natural, so oh well, it'll happen. It's an aspect that God wants us to stir ourselves up to have this desire and this longing after God. And then the last aspect that we can look at here tonight is that you may grow thereby. There's only one way to grow. This is not telling us that this is a way to grow. There's only one way to grow. And that's through a desire and a hunger and thirst for the milk of God's Word. So that your growth in spiritual maturity, spiritual victory, spiritual effectiveness is correspondent to how much time you spend in this book. It's not just an option or a possibility, or a hope so, that maybe one day I'll get up every day and read my Bible with consistency and regularity. If you're a newborn babe, your desire is so strong that you can't wait to go to bed because you want to get up and read God's Word again and again. And again, and you realize, I must have this. It's the only way I will grow. But did you know that God tells us that the result of drinking of this milk, of this Word, is that you'll grow? How do children grow? They're 3 days old and they're little babies. 2 weeks later, they're 5 feet tall and they're playing tennis. Right? No, as a parent, Do you notice how they grow? Most of the time, we're so close to them that we don't quite realize it. And sometimes you'll see a picture and you're like, oh, that's what they look like 6 months ago. Or maybe somebody. Maybe you might not see a kid. Even sometimes they grow a lot in a week. I'll see some of your kids and I'll walk in and say, are they taller? Are they bigger? Something happened. The parents say, but what I'm saying is, it's something that happens incrementally. It's something that happens small in a process. So that when you are born again, God wants you to grow a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and sometimes it's imperceptible to you, but if you'll keep feasting and desiring and hungering for the Word of God, you will be changed. And you'll grow up into Him who is the head. There is a dynamic quality to the Christian believer. We are not standing still, waiting around for the dawn of the new age, but we are growing towards the goal that God has for us, day by day by day. There's an aspect which your desire for the Word can grow. And what is the goal of that growth? I believe it is, in the context of 1 Peter, it is the full salvation that God wants to bring. There's an element to which there's a future aspect that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto what? Unto salvation. That final day, in the last day, when we're going to be revealed and what God has done to us. Until that day comes, you and I are growing towards that goal of God's ultimate transformation of our lives into the image of Jesus Christ. He says, what is the end of your faith? Even the salvation of your soul. Verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a salvation yet coming. Yes, am I saved today? Absolutely. But there's a salvation yet ahead. And I'm going to experience it at the day of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And His glory is going to be revealed in me to the fullest when I see Him face to face. But until that day, we are growing and growing towards the ultimate goal. You say, am I on my way to heaven? There's a surefire way that you'll know. Your whole life is growing to that end, to the image of what God has called you to be. And there's a work of God that He's doing in your life that's creating in you a spiritual hunger for His Word. And you are following through with God's command to desire it more and more. And if you will do it, you say, I want to have victory over sin. Here's the book. Here's the Word. Pursue this book. Everyone who has fallen into disaster, fallen away from God, there is an abandonment of this very Word from God. And so you have a way in which every single one of us should examine our lives in light of our connection to this book. Because I cannot grow apart from the study of God's Word. And may God help us to feast upon His Word day by day by day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we rejoice tonight that we are little children, that we're little babes in your eyes, and that you love us so intently. We are dependent upon you. Father, feed us with that milk of the Word that is so pure and